At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this Thursday afternoon. The Vols will be under the lights. Fayetteville on Saturday night to take on Arkansas. And to help us with that opponent, let's head to Arkansas. Trey Biddy covers the Hogs for Hogsports.com. And he's on the line with us. Trey, how you doing? Hello?
I guess we don't have
it. I guess. Sorry about that. I accidentally had it on mute.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for having me.
We were worried for a second there.
I'm looking around going, is it me? Well, you know, we're all in different places. So, okay, good deal. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
This is a big game, obviously, I think for both teams, but in particular for Tennessee because they've obviously dropped three in a row, and this is a game that everybody identified early in the season, when you looked at or before the season, as Arkansas and Vanderbilt were picked to be the worst teams in the conference, and it hasn't played out that way, at least on the Arkansas side of things. They've been better than what everybody projected. Is that how everybody feels in that market? Or I know that's a market that loves to win and loves their Arkansas sports. Are they kind of viewing it as, oh, you know, we could be even better than that? What's the pulse as we sit here today?
Well, I think a lot of people just think that Arkansas is underachieved under Chad Morris before Sam Pittman got there, and I think the consensus really that Arkansas needed a culture change. Having said that, nobody's predicting more than three wins this season in SEC play, you know, going into it. I think I ended up predicting two wins, so they've already met that mark and have a chance to, in some of these games going down the stretch. I mean, when I look at what Arkansas has done these last couple of years and losing games at home, so teams like Western Kentucky, not just losing, but just getting routed at home in your own backyard, losing to North Texas at home, getting blown out back in, you know, 2018, losing to San Jose State at home. You know, that just shouldn't happen. We can talk about Arkansas's talent level in the SEC. Is it subpar? Is it average? Whatever. There's no reason, no excuse for you to get boat raced at home by Western Kentucky. There's no excuse. So, to me, that just signified that there was a huge problem, a huge culture issue at Arkansas. And we'd heard stuff. You know, we'd heard this player didn't like that player, offense didn't like defense, older guys don't like younger guys, these coaches don't get along, all that kind of crap that was going on inside of Arkansas's program. And it's no wonder that they had so many struggles. And Pittman comes in, and you tend to hire a coach that's a lot different, right, from the last coach. And I knew what Arkansas was getting in Sam Pittman. You guys are probably familiar with him, too. He spent a year at Knoxville before going to Arkansas back in, 2013. And so I knew him just, you know, from his relationship with recruits, how other people talked about him. They got to know him around here. So it wasn't, to me, like the coach that Arkansas fans wanted necessarily, but maybe a coach that they needed. And I just remember the differences in his introductory press conference versus Chad Morris. Chad Morris, a lot of I'm going to do this. Pittman, all we, never said the word rebuild. You know, we just need the guys in this team. And that really resonated with the players. They needed somebody to buy into. I mean, I think we all, you know, it's you can't just like manufacture momentum and emotion and stuff like that. You really need somebody or something to rally around, and that's kind of what Sam Pittman has been for Arkansas. They have good enough players to not just be getting embarrassed at home by teams in the group of five.
Interesting. A guy that they I want to know is the team rallied around Felipe Franks, no stranger in the SEC, but what has he meant under center for Arkansas?
He's brought a lot of stability. Arkansas has gone through 10 starting quarterbacks in the last couple of years. I mean, I think eight starting quarterbacks in the last two seasons. So having him as a guy that's, you know, been a multi-year starter at Florida, 13-3 in his last 16 games there, having him, and what I said in the offseason, if he could just be average, not special, not an all-SEC player, just an average SEC quarterback, then Arkansas has got a chance. And he's been above average, I think, so far. He's drawn a little bit of criticism from fans. I mean, nobody's perfect for holding on to the ball too long, taking some sacks and stuff. But what he doesn't do is put the ball in jeopardy. And that's – you would take the sack over an interception any day of the week. So that's kind of really the long, real criticism that he's had. But, I mean, you have to go back – Brandon Allen in 2015, who had the greatest statistical year of any quarterback in Arkansas history, you have to go all the way back to him to find somebody who's putting up numbers the way Arkansas has right now with Felipe Franks. I mean, he threw for 318 yards, four touchdowns, and completed 75% of his passes. Nobody at Arkansas has done that since 2015. So, perspective, he's been pretty good.
So let's, Trey, let's talk a little bit more about what Franks has around him. The stats look pretty good. Of course, it was sort of a shootout. They lose 42-31, but they ran the ball pretty well. So what do you think the matchup is, Arkansas running the ball against Tennessee's front?
Well, they're starting to finally click on offense. I think they will have success on the ground against Tennessee. And, you know, Tennessee's got some talented players on the other side of the ball, but, you know, Rakeem Boyd is finally back healthy. That's a guy that ran for 1,100 yards last season and came back this season when he could have gone pro. But he's finally healthy, ran for 100 yards at a touchdown against Texas A&M on 18 carries. Felipe, definitely his best game as a runner. I always say Felipe is more of like a 200-meter guy versus a 60-meter guy, a guy that's 6'6", 240. Once he gets going, you know, he can move it downfield. And Traylon Smith is another guy that, you know, provides, you know, he's kind of a shiftier back. He can also get it done in the passing game a lot. So they haven't had a real good 1-2 combo at running back in a few years. So they do finally have that now. It looks like Arkansas's offensive line is pretty healthy. They're, you know, they've got a guy or two here or there that I might have said, you know, on the SEC level, maybe this guy's a year away. Maybe he's works really hard and really technically sound stuff, and maybe needs to just get a little bit bigger. They've got a couple guys like that up front on the offensive line, but I do think overall as a unit, they're better than they were last year. So, yeah, to me, I think they've got a shot to get the run game going.
What in your mind is the biggest weakness that Arkansas has right now? Is as they continue to try to move forward, where are they looking to fix?
Well, I would say depth is a bit of an issue overall. You know, at the same time, it feels like they're just plugging guys in. I mean, we just go over the secondary. You know, Hayden Clark, when I saw him, I didn't even know who he was when he came in when Monteric Brown at cornerback got injured. He's a redshirt freshman walk-on. And then a couple weeks later, he gets three interceptions against Ole Miss. They've been able to plug guys in. I do think that they're thin at linebacker, past Grant Morgan and Bumper Pool. So they have a little bit of a depth issue here and there, and obviously they would be in trouble without, you know, Felipe Franks. I don't know if there's a guy behind him, like, you know, if Garantano is the bad version of Garantano, which he's been sometimes, obviously, you know, maybe they go to Maurer. I don't know what Arkansas would really do. I think, you know, it'd be Malik Hornsby or KJ Jefferson, but they don't have any experience at backup quarterback. So, you know, those are some issues I think that they have. And you know, there's a couple of guys that you'd like to see them get going in the passing game. They have some guys that are very talented. Obviously, Treylon Burks at wide receiver, I think, is one of the top players in this conference, one of the most talented players in the entire conference, regardless of position. You know, so he's a guy that, you know, has been very explosive for them. They've had some other guys step up here and there, but, you know, Trey Knox is another guy with a lot of talent. You guys may remember him. He's from the Nashville area. He was a four-star wide receiver recruit, played a lot as a true freshman, but has just really disappeared this season. So, you know, there's some guys like that they could get going, you know, not just have to rely so much on Treylon Burks and passing game.
Trey Biddy is with us, hogsports.com, Hog Sports Live down in Arkansas, as we talk about this matchup against Tennessee. And going back to the whole coaching aspect, just the stability of the program, because I think there are comparisons between Tennessee and Arkansas and the changes that have happened over the last, you know, decade or so. I mean, Bobby Petrino had things going, and then we obviously know what happened with him, and then it's just been up and down with coaches. So with Sam Pittman and most notably his staff, how important will it be to, you know, maybe keep Kendall Briles for a few years, keep Barry Odom, to try and continue to build what the culture is going to be under Pittman there at Arkansas?
Well, it would be big. I mean, I do think that both those guys are have a chance to be head coaches in the future. You know, Barry Odom obviously has been a head coach at Missouri, and that's been important for Pittman because Pittman is in his first year as a major college head coach, and having a guy like Barry Odom to bounce things off of, I think, has been very beneficial. And, you know, just in addition to that, just what Odom has brought defense. Now, they didn't play great on defense against Texas A&M. I think they just ran into a really good team, really solid offensive line, and, you know, a quarterback that, you know, as a fifth-year, well, he's a fourth-year guy. He's a senior, though. He's a four-year starter in Kellen Mond, who I thought played his best game so far. But overall, Odom's defense has well exceeded expectations so far. I think that Kendall Briles and Barry Odom, I don't know of anybody who made two bigger coordinator hires in the country than Kendall Briles and Barry Odom. I mean, it's pretty remarkable to add those guys to what Sam Pittman has done. But from people I've talked to, Kendall Briles really likes it around here in Arkansas. He's kind of tired of bouncing around, so I don't think he will make another move until he gets a head coaching opportunity. I mean, if you look at his career, he's been at, you know, after Baylor, you know, 1 year stop at Houston, 1 year stop at Florida Atlantic, 1 year stop at FSU. So I think he would probably like to settle down a little bit. And with Barry Odom, I kind of get the feeling that he's going to be here at least one more year, minimum. And, obviously they would welcome that.
Yeah. With Kendall Briles, watching him firsthand, watching that offense, in this first handful of games, where would you put him when you're having the conversation of some national names of, you know, offensive minds, whether it be Kiffin in the SEC or some others? Where would you put Briles?
Well, I think he's up there. Now, Arkansas has gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, and I think part of that has to do with, you know, having a brand-new quarterback, not having spring football, just a lot of newness, you know, to get things started. But you look at what, you know, he did as a coordinator at Baylor. They were obviously very explosive his first year. They had number one offense in the country his first year as a coordinator. Their coordinator only, he was passing game coordinator too before that. You look at what he did at Florida Atlantic with Kiffin, great offense there. Houston, fantastic offense. And, you know, even Florida State, when you look at them, you know, Florida State Pro Football Focus ranked their offensive line number 129 out of 130 teams. No matter how good, you know, you are as a coordinator, you can't operate very good behind an offensive line that's giving up a bunch of sacks and doing some of the things that they did. But they still added almost 50 yards a game on the ground, you know, as an offense. So they still were, you know, middle of the pack, even though, you know, we're used to seeing top 10 offenses out of Kendall Briles. So, yeah, I mean, they're finally starting to, it seems like finally starting to click. They've had a couple of injuries here and there, but getting Rakeem Boyd back and having some more balance, it feels like the offense has gotten better. Even though they ran into, you know, a tough matchup with Texas A&M, it feels like they have gotten better and a little more clean each week.
Trey Biddy, hogsports.com.
Here with, I guess I would rank him up there pretty good as far as, you know, with his resume.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Trey, we appreciate the time today. It's going to be a fun game to watch for both the fan bases for sure. So we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, big measuring stick game for both programs, I think. All right, guys, appreciate you.
Trey Biddy, hogsports.com, host of Hog Sports Live as well, talking Arkansas, the Razorbacks taking on the Vols this weekend. We have more coming here in the fourth hour. But first, Darren, you have a word about Cool Springs MD.
Indeed. Let me talk about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, because I've been going there for years. I know them very well, and they know me very well, and they know a lot of you very well, because they've been in this market since 2007 and helping a lot of you. And they house a lot of things under one roof. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne is the registered nurse. And their very experienced staff want to improve your quality of life. And I don't know who doesn't want to sign up for that. I know I do. And they have certainly helped me, and they can help you. Maybe you haven't been feeling the same lately. You've been feeling off. You just haven't felt yourself. You haven't had any drive to you, and you're wondering what's going on. Well, go over there and talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you need to get your levels checked out. And as we get older, those levels dip, and maybe they've dipped to all-time lows. But either way, they can help you get going in the right direction. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, boy, everybody can understand that in 2020. Maybe you were in a routine, but then your local gym closed down for several months. And then when it opened back up, you just never got back into that routine. and you've put on some unwanted pounds, well, they've got programs and people that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, just dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can learn everything about them at their website, coolspringsmd.com. There you go. We learned a little bit more about the opponent for the Vols, and this is a critical game for both teams, but really, it's a critical game for Tennessee. I know Arkansas, look, they've got expectations. They want to win, and I get that. And certainly they're going in saying, hey, we got to win this. But there were really no expectations for this Arkansas team. Their bar was set really, really low. Dare I say it, they've already exceeded expectations. So everything now is whipped cream and nuts and cherry. And like I said, they're not, that staff isn't thinking like that, but this Tennessee team, they lose this game. As Paul Feinbaum told us back in the first hour, things are going to get weird. I mean, I'll be interested to hear our conversation on Monday with Vince Ferrara if they lose to Arkansas. And ironically, he picked them to lose.
I think
he was with
lose.
Us on Monday. You're picking them to lose?
I'm picking Arkansas.
By the way, the line's going up. People are betting money on Tennessee. It's up to 2 now.
Yep.
Trevor Maddich likes Arkansas.
Really?
He went on the record.
I feel that's the sexy pick.
On Jared and GM.
Hmm.
And it could be wrong. I mean, this could be, you know, Tennessee wakes up after a bye, but again, it's what's gonna change. I mean, this is Jarrett Garantano. He is what he is. I mean, I understand the opponent, but are you really just gonna go, all right, let's go? We're now, this is who we really are. Okay, we haven't been this way up until now, but this is who we really are. I don't see it.
You know, this game could go so many different ways. But I think you hit on the main dynamic. Is Arkansas is playing at home, and they have a good feeling. Now, they got beat. They got beat pretty soundly by Texas A&M, but you know they held their own. They weren't blown out of the water. And Texas A&M is gaining momentum themselves, right? That team looks a lot better than they did at the beginning of the season when they were the ones facing a lot of question marks. So, you know, every team is different, every game is different, but I'm always curious. The mental side of it. How do you handle things when you're starting to feel pretty good about yourselves? With Arkansas, they're loose. They have nothing to lose, but that doesn't mean they're going to play great. But it could. And then, how does Tennessee handle the pressure that they know is out there? Right, they know they've got to win this game to have the kind of season they're looking for. Coaching staff, hot seat or not, right? The players know that if they're going to turn their season around, they've got to have this game. So does that bring out the best in them, or do they not play well? I tend to think that they're going to play well. Garantano, when he's played well, he can play well against the medium to bad teams, right? For the most part, maybe not spectacular, but he's only really had a game like he did against Kentucky the one time against a team like that, right? He can look bad against the really good teams, but I think there's a chance he goes out there and plays a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. Is their best going to be better than Arkansas's? And I know Arkansas is not this, you know, this awesome program by any means, but they certainly have been better than we all thought they were going to be. Kendall Briles' offense seems to be clicking with Felipe Franks. I always thought Felipe Franks was a decent quarterback, maybe not at the Florida level, but he's certainly the Arkansas, that caliber level. So is what Tennessee's going to throw at them, is that their best, and is it better than Arkansas's best? I mean, Arkansas is playing with the nothing-to-lose mentality, and it's working. I mean, they should have gotten a win over Auburn. They've hung tough in some other games. So it's just whether Garantano plays better, is it going to be good enough to get a win over this team?
Darren, how do you assess, is Tennessee's best better than Arkansas's best? I think Tennessee's best is better than Arkansas's best. But how would you answer it? I don't think it's a given.
Well, in fairness, I haven't watched Arkansas nearly as much as I've watched Tennessee. So I wouldn't say that I'm best equipped to answer that because I haven't watched a ton of Arkansas games. Unfortunately, I've just watched a lot of other SEC games not named Arkansas. I've watched a little bit, very little, but, I mean, nowhere near the level of a lot of other teams in the conference I've watched. So I don't know if I'm best equipped to tell you what Tennessee does better than Arkansas because I haven't watched a ton of Arkansas. I was looking at the numbers and ranking the defenses 1 through 14 that have the best success rate against the pass right now through this season. One, let me just ask you, who's number one? Who's the best SEC defense that has the best success rate against the pass?
Georgia.
Georgia is indeed number one. Yeah. Who's number two?
Best defense against the pass. I don't think it's Alabama because they haven't been very good.
You know, it is Alabama.
Is it really?
Is it? Yes.
Even though they got lit up by Ole Miss. It's interesting because a lot of it is who have you played? Have you played against the team that throws it a lot and is just going to roll up some big numbers?
Well, the reason I bring it up, Arkansas is 3. Tennessee is 11th.
And so let's look at who Arkansas has played, right?
And you know who's 13 and 14.
Oh, yeah. Let's not go there.
The matchup this weekend.
Yeah. And yet Vanderbilt is 17-point dog?
19. Like it's 19, up to 19. Yeah.
It's up to 19. That tells you something. That's another story, right? But let's look at Arkansas and their opponents. One of them is Auburn, right? That's a very hot and cold, up and down kind of offense. They're not going to roll up a lot of passing yards every week. And they certainly didn't against Arkansas. I'm trying to think of some of the other matchups that Arkansas has had. They played Georgia, not exactly a team that rolls it up with passing yards, right? And for a half, they were right in it with Georgia. Those are the two games that they've lost. Now, they got lit up pretty good by Texas A&M last week. It's a really good question, Darren, because I think this has got to be good Garantano, right? Garantano's got to put his best foot forward. I think if he does, they win. I think it's pretty simple. I think they'll be good enough if Garantano – they've got some wide receivers that are pretty talented, Tennessee does, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yes, but I just told you Arkansas has been really good against the pass this year.
I know, so that's what I'm saying. I think that's the matchup. I think you've hit on the matchup.
And my concern there is, you know, if Barry Odom's defense make a play and they rattled Garantano just a little bit, can he come out of that? Because he's shown us that he can't at times, that he gets rattled and he just makes mistake after mistake after mistake. So the chances are, with that defense, they are going to force him to make a mistake, whether it's a pick or, you know, what have you. He's got to be able to shake it off, and I just don't know if he can. So that's why, you know, one big play for Arkansas could be the difference in getting inside Garantano's head and Arkansas winning the game.
That's one of the reasons I asked the question, too, about the running game for Arkansas. To me, that's another big thing is – like Tennessee, there's been a lot of talk about the defensive line and replacing the defensive line coach. And to be fair, you know, they played some pretty talented teams during the mix. So what does that run defense look like against Arkansas? That, you know, they feel pretty good about how they ran the ball last week against Texas A&M.
Well,
we know
Boyd is back, and
yeah,
and
he's
the
a
guy
key guy.
Depending on.
That's a huge that's a huge question to me. Is he a guy moving with the arrow pointed up and starting to become a really good back? Because I think we know what Franks is, right? He's okay. He's not a star, but he's an upgrade for Arkansas. But what is he really? He's just an okay SEC quarterback, in my mind, right? I don't think he's different than he has been before. He's just older. Do you agree with that, or is that not fair to him?
Whenever Trey says they've had eight quarterbacks in the last,
right,
handful of years, then they've been looking for anybody. So Felipe Franks, with Arkansas standards in the last, 3 years, he's a massive upgrade. As you said, experienced guy, has been through all the wars in the SEC, knows the conference well. Going back to what you said on some of these stats, well, it depends on who you played. Yeah, exactly. But that's what's more impressive about Arkansas. When you say Garantano, can he have a good game? I don't know. Can he be effective passing against Arkansas? Arkansas has played Georgia, Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M, and they're third in the league against the pass. It's just in. Those teams can pass.
Well, definitely Ole Miss. That was, of course, Ole Miss, what was the score of that game? It was a normal score.
33-21.
Right? Yeah, so that's fairly normal for a game. So Ole Miss didn't rack up 48, 50 points like they're capable of. So that's a testament to Arkansas's D, no question.
Yeah, it is a good question. I mean, it's a good conversation to have because I don't know how you can definitively say Garantano is going to – you're going to get good Garantano. You just don't know. He's so hot and cold and inconsistent, and mainly he's been cold.
And if you don't, A, you're going to get second guess for not making a change of some sort. And then number two, if he does go with a quick hook and he wants to make a replacement within the game, who is the replacement?
Yeah, who is the replacement and when is the hook? Like, what has to happen for him to pull him? It's like I asked Paul Feinbaum this morning, how short's the leash? I think we all agree that the leash is short, but is it the first? I mean, if he throws a pick on the first series, is he done for the day? Or does he march him back out there?
That's a really good question.
If it's me, he's done for the day. But if it's me, he's not starting.
Well, also, I think part of the equation is, am I going to try the freshman as the backup? Because if I am, I might try to get him in there a little bit earlier. I think we know enough about the other guys. Whoever it is, those guys aren't the answer. They're not better than Garantano. True? I just wonder, are they poised to try to give the kid a chance?
The freshman is the only one.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they feel like he's ready. They don't want to put him in a position to fail. So it just depends on whether they feel like he's had enough reps to be ready. Because I keep asking every week to Vince, and he doesn't go there, right? Of course, they don't get to watch all the practices, but the one thing he has stressed is their messaging has they have not really been able to get him a lot of reps. But they have had a bye week, so if there's ever a chance to do it, this would seem to be the time.
Well, I think what's going in Tennessee's favor is the minute – This is the tricky part about Garantano, right? The minute you feel like that's it, then he comes up with the game, right?
Exactly.
He comes up with the game. And that's what's kept him in that starting role because he never craters enough for them to pull the trigger. He bounces back, and the minute everybody thinks that's it, then he starts stringing together some games.
And the other guys don't ever do anything
guys
with, to
what
keep the
little
job.
Opportunities
they, give
they
it right
get,
back.
They do nothing. Right. In fact, if anything, they come in and they poop the bed. And so it's an easy decision to go back to him. Like nobody comes in and all of a sudden the light comes on and Tennessee's offense is just
not even for part of a game. Not even for, hey, that guy actually gave us a spark for a couple series.
Nope.
That doesn't happen.
Mm-mm. That's why the two behind him, it's like we've seen, been
they've
there, done
chance.
It. They've had their chances. It's literally the freshman, or it's just going to be Garantano the rest of the way. But this is if I'm making a case for Tennessee, it's in this spot. This is normally when he steps up and he has a game, right? He has the game where it's like, okay. And then everybody gets excited, and then, I don't know if it's the next game or when it happens again. But then he has the uh-oh game again, right? And it's right back to square one. So it's just kind of this roller coaster ride that everybody's been on since Garantano in the last 2.5 years. And I suspect it'll probably be that way the rest of the way, just because, like I said, he never craters. He never the wheels just don't ever come completely off. And makes it easy, right, for the decision. You could see, like, okay,
yep.
That's
it's
enough.
It's a Mariota kind of thing where it would have been for a while. It's just like, well, so, can we just get the clear answer? And it was a little bit like that. A couple weeks would go, all right, okay, he's going the right direction. Oh, we got a setback.
And what happened with Mariota? What made the change?
They finally got a guy who could challenge him.
No. Yeah, but what happened? Yes, but what happened? What was the game that the change happened?
Denver.
What happened? They got shut out.
Right.
And by the way, if Tennessee, you know, it's not going to happen. But if Tennessee were to, you know, get shut out or put 3 points on the board, they'll make a change. That's what'll happen. That'll be the tipping point. I don't believe that's going to happen. But I'm saying if they do nothing offensively and they get a hand it to them, then Pruitt won't have a choice. Like, he'll have to turn it over to the freshman. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's what it would take. Like, Garantano always does just enough to keep it. Doesn't mean they always win, but he always does just enough for the coach to say, I'm not ready to go to the young. I can't put in the freshman. You know, or the backups, because, once again, the backups, the other two, they never do anything to make that decision. So it's always leaves him going, yeah, that makes me mad, or that wasn't good enough, but I don't have anything attractive. You know, and like you said, that was the difference. Mariota, there was finally an attractive backup. Years past, those were not good backups.
Yeah, intentionally. They didn't want to put it. They didn't want to challenge him, right?
That's
they wanted to just say, he's the guy.
Yep. I think it's a really intriguing game. Like, I know Notre Dame and Clemson's going to be, but I am going to be doing a lot of, you know, I'm going to focus on more Tennessee, Arkansas, and, you know, try to get over there and see Clemson and Notre Dame, especially if it turns into a game. But I'm really intrigued by Tennessee, Arkansas. It's a game that, because I have no idea how it's going to play out. And I think, depending on whatever happens, it'll create a discussion piece on Monday, no matter what. Right. What if Tennessee came out and just hammers them?
It could happen.
Could.
It could, and then we go, all right, so what now? What does this mean?
Right. Of course. What does that mean? Right.
And, I mean, we could also unfairly say, yeah, they came out and they beat an inferior team. But how do they match up against the good teams? We know what that has looked like. We've seen Georgia. We've seen Alabama. I mean, it's very easy to go that way. But you're right. The conversation could go many different ways, depending on what happens here. But I still pick Arkansas. I just don't have faith. Until I see it with my own two eyes, I don't have faith.
So Trevor on Tuesday picked?
Arkansas.
Picked Arkansas.
He did.
Interesting.
He was pressed.
Vince took Arkansas. But yet the public seems to be going Tennessee's
pick
way.
Pick six intrigue tomorrow.
Oh, pick
Ooh,
six.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We will flip back over to the Titan side of things, talk a little bit more about this matchup against Chicago on the other side. You're listening to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end.
Nashville SC will take on Orlando City SC this Sunday at 2:30 p.m. You can catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 2:15. They dropped one last night, didn't they?
Did. The unbeaten streak at home is over. But just, you know, I had some different guys in the lineup as Gary Smith tries to get his team prepared for the playoffs. But still some seeding, you know, seeding on the line, trying to move up in that. But just wasn't meant to be last night, and they fall to Dallas 1-0. Good to see some people there, though.
Yep.
As they continue to allow fans in the stands. So that was nice.
How many do they have left? It's winding down. I know that.
Their last game is – that was their last home game. So their last game is Sunday.
Sunday is their last regular – okay.
Yep.
And then we'll see what happens
at the playoffs. Yep.
So you have today's practice report yet? Do we have that?
Let me see. I don't.
Because yesterday's was a little alarming. I know it's Wednesday, so you don't really – but there were some names on there. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been
like
released.
Simmons and Clowney, if they don't play.
But they were on last week, too.
I know.
This time. So
I know they're going to – I think they're going to play, but I'm just saying. Like I said, Wednesday's practice is not what you gauge it.
No.
Off of.
No. Friday's really the only one that you have to worry about.
Right.
But I don't believe it's been sent out yet. So, because they're still on the field. So they're still going until 2 o'clock. So it'll probably be at some point after that we'll get that. So
Titans are on defense 22nd against the run, 26th against the pass, 25th overall. That really hasn't been the big issue. The big issue has been trying to get off the field on third downs. And I just think, you know, Cincinnati was a bad team, but they were good offensively. Joe Burrow's had a really nice rookie season. So going 10 of 15, yeah, that's still way too much. But you can also understand that a little bit. Cincinnati's offense is way better than Chicago's. If the Bears go 10 for 15, it goes back to what we've been talking about all week. I just don't know how anybody could reasonably expect that this Titans defense is going to change the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, how could you? I don't think that is really a stretch. I mean, they
– by the way, with the next three games being lurking, two Colts games and a Ravens game. Yikes.
Yeah. Now, you can make the argument that you've gotten rid of a couple of guys that were hurting you, and they were. I mean, Jonathan Joseph and Vic Beasley are two different things. Jonathan Joseph, time has passed him by. He was slow, and other offenses were looking and going, yeah, we're going to throw to 33 because he's not going to be able to cover. All right, you got to make a change there. You make the trade for King. So how much does having him off the field, having Desmond King, having Adoree Jackson, how much of a difference will that make? And Mike Vrabel was asked about Adoree specifically today. He didn't answer the question because I guess he really can't. He hasn't seen him this year. He hasn't seen him with this group because he hasn't played. So you have to factor that in. Does one guy or two guys, does that magically fix everything? Probably not, but at this point you can't get any worse. And then Vic Beasley was just not working out. Effort-wise, fit-wise, whatever, it just wasn't working out. Taking him away, giving Roberson reps or somebody else, you know, what does that do? Does that spark the rest of the defense, or that group, I should say? Does, when you have a guy that's in there more effective doing his job, does it open it up for somebody else, you know, for Clowney or whoever? These are all good questions and fair questions, but you're going to have to see it in the game, and they have a chance to do something against a bad offense, but we thought that last week and they didn't do it. So now they have to. They're going to have to show us that they are better than those types of teams. And if they don't, then, you know, that word that you brought up earlier is going to be thrown around a lot.
Well, it's just like the Tennessee situation. I mean, you know, maybe people aren't willing to say the F word on Monday, but if they lose this game to the Bears, you will see a different tone with the fan base. There's not a doubt in my mind.
Sure. Because there's
not with all, but there will be some that are going to be like, yeah, okay.
Right, because you know what it looks like? It's the same thing, like you just said with Tennessee, that, you know, okay, you go up against good teams like Indy and Baltimore, and you've already lost to Pittsburgh. They're going to go, huh, here we go. 9-7 is what it looks like. Looks and has that look and feel to it, maybe 10-6, but still, after four straight years of 9-7, will the fan base really be satisfied just going 10-6, even if they won the division? Now, it obviously
depends. Yes, the answer should be yes.
Yeah,
and it depends. Should never balk at 10-6.
Right, but you know, it also depends on what they do in the postseason. They, you know, after last year going to the AFC Championship game. Now, if they run into Pittsburgh again or Kansas City and what have you, then sure, you have to consider that. But and I agree. I mean, I agree, especially if you win the division, because that is an improvement over where you were. 10-6 and winning the division is nothing to, you know, be upset about, but got to beat bad teams.
It's just a matter of what are you really? Because I just don't subscribe to your record is what you are. That's not That's just not the way I look at it. I just don't. I don't believe that to be true. I don't believe, yes, it's good. I mean, like I said, as I've said earlier in the year, when they've gotten some really ugly wins, you don't apologize for it. But it doesn't mean that you also have to say in the same breath, don't apologize for the win. And that means, well, just you won, so that just means you're good. It means you are, you know, your records, you can look at records and say, well, they are, you know, they are that good or better, or they're not that good. Like, I don't believe the Chicago was started off, what were they? They were 3-0. They made the switch. They were, what, 5-1? Was anybody talking about the Bears like being like a real threat in the NFC? Is anybody looking at this 5-win Bears team right now and say they're a real threat in the NFC? I mean, the only teams that people would predict the Bears to beat in a playoff situation would be any team that comes out of the NFC East. That's it.
Yeah.
No one is going to pick the Bears to beat anybody else. No one.
And they shouldn't.
I mean, do you think the Vikings, I get it, their record is great, but do you believe they're a bad team?
No. That's why I brought it up with Tim yesterday.
I don't believe they're a bad team at all. In fact, I would probably make the case, I think Minnesota may be better than Chicago, even though the record doesn't reflect that.
I'd agree with that. I brought that up with Tim yesterday of, you know, Minnesota, are they just a prime example of a team that, you know, they're not as bad as their record shows? And he goes, yeah, I actually think they're a good team. And they showed that by beating Green Bay, which – I think we would identify as a great team or pretty good. I mean, they're certainly one of
the
better teams.
They're dealing with a lot of stuff.
They are.
So give them a little bit of a pass on that. You know, they didn't have Aaron Jones. They were down to Jamal Williams. Didn't he get hurt in the game? I mean, they had nobody that could run the ball.
Right.
They had a bunch of receivers that were hurt. I mean, they had a lot of stuff piling up. And they weren't able to overcome it, and Dalvin Cook came back and he went nuts on them.
Yeah. And so to that point, I think a 5-win Chicago team up again in that division against Minnesota and against Green Bay, I mean, they look like even bigger frauds. It's not real. Yes, they got the wins, and in the standings that counts, but the way they play and watching them, you know, makes you think, they're not. I mean, did they almost beat New Orleans? Did they go to overtime? Sure. But if they had any type of offense that was just –
they would have put them away early because they were in control and they couldn't do anything about it. They could not help their defense out because they were in control. Well, they went up – well, their offense should have scored a touchdown. It was 13-3. It should have been 17-3 if they had any type of offense. It's 13-3. They're in complete control. And before you know it, it's 16-13, New Orleans.
They can't close the deal. That's the problem. They can't, you know, they may suck you in and make you think, oh, here you go. No, just kidding. Got a punt. Got to kick a field goal. You know, don't have it. So those are the types of teams that if the Titans are what we have all thought and been led to believe, then those are the types of teams that the Titans should beat. If last week, you can chalk up as it's the NFL, it was a bad week, you had a hot offense, a rookie quarterback, everybody had written them off, okay. But you can't do that 2 weeks in a row. Just can't.
Looks like Saturday's contest, Air Force at Army, postponed.
Another one.
So say it. That's another one. Poor Cliff and Gina, I don't know. Are they getting the memo?
Actually, they've been
switching.
They've been all over that because Cliff reached out this morning, and I think he was talking about that game that it started earlier.
And they've already moved games around at different times, but That didn't change a thing because
yeah, Cliff told me earlier the cutoff time for Saturday on Silly Underdog Picks would be 10:30 because of Air Force and Army. I guess well, that
now
won't
we
be
go
happening
back to 11 because it's now been postponed.
Yep. So, and this, you know, now whenever you say, oh, we got another game that's postponed or canceled, I mean, I'm not even that surprised anymore just because it's, I know it was going to, you know, we knew it was going to happen. So,
Clemson reporting that their athletic department is saying that men's track and field, that program will go away. Also, cross country will go away in the spring.
Mm.
How much money do you really need to run those programs? Really?
Apparently.
Cross country?
I know. Apparently money they don't have.
What's the budget for them? Like you, couldn't they do like a car wash or something and pay for that season?
I would think.
Do a raffle?
I mean, I would think. That's the, and we've way, but you know, we had the conversation yesterday. People asked us, what did you talk about? Well, that was one of the things that we talked about way back in March and April. Of that, you know, you don't play football, all that goes away. Well, even if you do play football, because of the hit that the athletic departments have taken, some of those programs may go away. Now you wonder, do they come back? Do they take a year off? Do they come back? How does that work? Or is this a indefinite type thing? But it's sad. It's sad for those kids that participate in those programs.
Very, very sad. All right, that will do it for us today. Man, we'll have a lot of things to get to tomorrow to close out the week. Don't forget, we will have, in the final hour, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and Pick 6. Pick 6 should be really interesting. A lot of intriguing games.
Oh, yes.
This weekend. You just made the list. Who or what has made you mad this week?
Rashawn Evans going to join us tomorrow.
Well, Rashawn Evans. Been a while since we've talked to him, Titans linebacker. Get a report from Chicago, learn a little bit more about the Bears. We'll have a lot more ground to cover to close out this week, but you enjoy the rest of this day. A beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay. No!
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.